Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, guide us to hear your will and to have your peace and comfort as we do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. We certainly do have many different pressures on us today. People throughout history have had pressure on them. So today's, if we have more, just different. And it can be economic pressure, family pressure, relationship pressure. Pressure is not new, but we do have a new variety of electronic or computerized pressure, which extends to the AI, the artificial intelligence, and how AI can identify each of us individually and by our character. It can identify us and predict our future behavior very, very well. It's had so much practice. We are pretty much unaware of it, but certainly law enforcement is quite aware of predictable behavior. Well, these predictions would cause us to be inclined to seek what our individual interests are as we look into the future and see what it is that we can best be doing with our concerns, whatever they are. If our concerns are social or business or just plain getting through a tough time, it's all well known if an AI were to look into us. There's the business aspect, and that is what is most frequently talked about. What AI can predict in our behavior so that those people who want to sell us a goods or a product or something can know who we are and what our needs are. That is a part of what AI is about. But it's just a part. It's a part of the identification and behavior understanding, and that's going on all over the place. It's a natural thing for all of us to do. It's just the technology has taken a further look into our character, our behavior, and our predictable things of what we are expected to think and do. We do wonder about what's coming. Will it be economic or social questions? Yes, of course it will be. And then how do we deal with it? And what are the promises of the things to come? How will we feel the need for security? How will we get our security? Or will we be insecure for the future? Well, it's a dynamic, and it is used to manipulate people. That's something that's been going on for well, decades, but actually longer. Oh, I'm thinking about the Cloward and Piven strategy, which has been practiced for decades, where there is a logical and easy solution that you can choose right after somebody presents you with a problem. Oh, a business, a government, or some identity, a person or something, says, here's the problem. And, you know, they have the logical and easy answer for you to just accept. That is a part of what that Cloward and Piven strategy is. Present the problem and present the solution. And that has been going on for certainly 50 years, maybe longer. It's done in corporate the world and in the government world. And we can be aware that it is going on to each and every one of us now and in the future. So be aware of it. That's about the best thing we can do, and have an understanding of what we want to have happen and who we are in Jesus Christ. Now, all these things are coming from a crisis. When there is a crisis, there might be a solution. And the crises can be anything from, oh, remember the toilet paper shortage? Or now there's a plain old paper shortage. And just recently we had the pandemic. See, these are crises. And we have solutions, which are presented to us about the same time as the problem. So that is basic manipulation of each one of us. There is somebody called Edward Bernays. He is the nephew of Sigmund Freud. Actually, I don't know if he's alive anymore, but in 1928, he wrote this book called Propaganda, and it was a how-to book of how to manipulate the public and people, and his services were sought and paid for by influential people, influential corporations, and people in the government circles, because he knew how to get the results, whether it was selling things. Why, his campaign, it's been said that he caused cigarettes to be successfully marketed to women. You know, women wanted to be modern in that day, and it was presented to them that women who smoked were up-and-coming modern women. So, anyway, he had a reputation for how to manipulate the public. You can still get his book called Propaganda. In all these things, you have to study and understand the principles behind it. And you can get along pretty well at knowing how to manipulate anyone. So it's not like it's just the easiest thing to read his book and know how to manipulate anyone, but it's right there. And people from government and the corporate world have learned that lesson of how to interact with the public so they could get, what they wanted. And I think of the Bible, how it said over and over, be not deceived. You see, we have a brain, and our brain allows us to figure out what's going on and to make sure that we are not deceived. So we are warned in the Bible, be not deceived. And we get to understand how to stay true to God and then love God and love our neighbor. In a way, it's not that complicated, but it's a part of what some tricky people do is to manipulate others. And so they present all sorts of information, even if it's wrong information or lies or emotional feelings to manipulate a person. That's done all the time. It's done also in our normal books, in our textbooks, and what the children learn at school. It is a manipulation to deceive somebody. And it goes on, it's been going on for 100 years. And our textbooks have been doing that for decades. And when you look at what children learn in school, you can, let's just look at some other countries. Look at the communist countries. It's pretty obvious that they present their own version of what is true. And we in the Western world have learned that there's a lot of history that does not get talked about. So we understand that those communist countries tell something that is not true. It's something that we get to seek understanding with, and as we practice learning truth, we get to discern what is truth and what is lies. Now, it's not always easy. I'm thinking of a Christian woman who had written a book. Now, she wrote about technology, but in this conversation, it was about one of the chapters in the middle of her book. And so she was having a conversation with, it was kind of like an interview. And they said, well, why did you say that? And she said, I didn't say that. And the counter was, well, it's right in your book. So she went back to her book and found out that the conclusion in one of the chapters in the middle of her book had been changed. It was not as she presented it to the publisher. Her book was changed. And she found that out by rereading the book. So we have this happening. Oh, by the way, that was 25 years ago, closer to 30. And that means if it happened then, it can happen today. Not only can it happen today, but it's easier to have it happen with artificial intelligence that can change what our online computerized material tells us. And we all use that computerized material through our iPhones and computers. We ask Google something, or we seek some written information, and it gives it to us. Is it truly the way it was written, or has it been changed? See, that's the advantage of books, is because if you have that, what somebody wrote, and it's in your possession, it is what it is. And artificial intelligence cannot change what you have in your own library, but it can change whatever you research on the computer. It's a matter of all these things are coming into our understanding, and we have to make sure that we really are oriented to what God's understanding is, because that doesn't change. And we pray to God and ask for understanding. I was just thinking at the same time here of Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, and how he has said, this was just last week, he said something about uploading our brains into the internet. Oh boy, what a concept. Oh yes, would all of your brain information get into the cloud, and then what would artificial intelligence do with it? It's a question, and we always ought to question what could happen so that we can have some protection against what just might be. I think it's so important to have that relation with God and be guided by His Word. That's the best. And now it just happened, after I heard that Klaus Schwab, whatever he said at the Economic Forum, I heard two computer scientists. One was Jeffrey Hinton, and I guess Elon Musk is not a computer scientist, but both of them warned against AI, artificial intelligence, and the computers. I thought, how interesting that people are warning against artificial intelligence, and here we are. We use it all the time. And so I, of course, thought some more about that and what it meant, and I thought back to that movie, 2001, A Space Odyssey. So I had to look that one up, and I found out that it came out in 1968, and that was a time when we were getting understanding about computers and a little bit more about spaceships, and that movie was about a spaceship going to Jupiter. About HAL, the computer, and the people on board the ship that were put into a state of sleep, let's say. The computer, HAL, it was found out, had received conflicting instructions. And so it had to figure what to do in the midst of the two conflicting instructions. So the computer, HAL, does successfully kill the astronauts on that spaceship, except for Dave. And you get the movie talking about how the computer was trying to manipulate Dave, both with forceful things, with life and death questions, and with emotional pleadings. And finally, Dave overcomes and subdues HAL, the computer. He unplugs the computer, basically. But it was a big ordeal, and it was an interesting movie, especially for that time when such things were not hardly thought about by the general public. After that, there were other movies that talked about the conflict between man and machine, or computers, like the early Terminator movie. There's a plot of human versus machine. There was the Cyberdyne Systems Model 101, and later it became the T-800. But it was still man versus computerized machine. Now, I think an important part of that plot in the Terminator movies had to do with the neural network named Skynet, and what happened when Skynet achieved self-awareness. Now, that's something that's going on today. We see that as being discussed and actually happening. So we get to figure out, how are we going to interact with artificial intelligence? Are we going to believe it? Are we going to go along with it? Oh, it's kind of hard not to when you make telephone calls and the service department is simply a computer and you respond to the computer when it asks you questions and it figures things out. How are we going to overcome that? I'm really not sure, because we have a world that is getting more and more computerized. I think the Bible warns us about, as I said, be not deceived. And then we have things that are simply designed to deceive us, to confuse us, to have more information than we can really deal with. Why, even the Bibles are like that. I'm thinking about a few decades ago when I was reading the Bibles and trying to get a grasp of the whole situation. Chapter 12 of Revelation in King James talked about that old serpent, the devil. And then I happened to look into an NIV Bible because I wanted to understand that. And I found out that it didn't have the same idea. It didn't say that old serpent, the devil. It said that old reptile. And then I looked in a different NIV, and it said that reptile of old. So obviously the additions changed, and they made the words different, which of course made the meanings different. And by the way, that is why I prefer the King James Version to any newer versions, because it's more accurate in what it is saying. Now, for the King James, you do have to understand a few new words, because there's probably a half a dozen of them which you have to look up and understand. For instance, the King James Bible says host, and a host is either an army or a body of men that are ready to smote a person. And smote is another one that means to hit. It can be a forceful hit or a deadly hit or a slap. So the King James does have a few words that you have to learn the definitions of, but it's easy to do. After all, we are intelligent people, right? Yes, so I prefer the King James reading for my own personal reading. When I'm reading in public, I like the New King James. But you have to be aware that there really are different words with different meanings in all the Bible versions. If you want to study that, I did that once. There is a book called New Age Bible Versions by Gail Riplinger. And it's a very good book. I recommend it to anybody. New Age Bible Versions by Gail Riplinger. So there's these things that have to do with our Bible and what the words say and what they mean. Now, I will leave that for you to decide and understand, but all these are for us to discern, and we are to be not deceived. That's the warning. Over and over again in the Bible, we read it, and it's so very true. Now, it's something I have always prayed before and after I have read passages in the Bible, and I ask God for understanding. I think that's something that's just a good idea to do. So if you are looking at a Bible version that is not King James or whatever you choose, just realize that sometimes they leave passages right out of the Bible. Matthew is one. I mean, here's a passage, Matthew 17:21. That is left out of the American Standard Version, today's English Bible, the Good News Bible, and NIV. So why do they leave out verses? It doesn't sound good to me, but that's something you learn when you study the Bible versions. And it's something which, yeah, I would say good idea to do. Look at what Bible version you want to study and read. Now, as I was studying these things, I found out that the translators had a history that I was shocked at. The New Age Bible versions were done by translators who had some question in their history. Like there were members of the so-called Ghost Society, and it's something which, you don't find out until you study it. And anyway, that's another reason why I will choose the King James Version, but you do whatever you understand after you have prayerfully asked this question of God. I think about the versions that have left passages out, and I think of, oh, here's one that's left out of plenty of Bible versions. Matthew 17:21, in which the apostles ask Jesus, why could we not cast out that demon? And Jesus said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. So in these days, with the deception around us, do you think we might have to know how to cast a demon out? And we might have to know that we would have to pray and fast in order to cast a demon out. But it's not in a number of Bible versions. Well, if you look it up, you find out that there's an excuse or there's a reason for it. Some Bible translators will even put it in their notes that they left this verse out because it is already in, oh, let's say Luke. Well, that is true, that Matthew 17:21 is already said in Luke in a different way. But it's always something you get to figure out. Whew, do I not want to read it twice in the Bible? After all, it is in the original King James Version. Well, I leave that to you to figure out, but I will ask you to look into it and see why we might want to look further and try to understand what is the best for us to do. And I think of Hosea 4:6 that says, God's people perish for a lack of knowledge. So are we really willing to study and seek the truth, seek understanding, or are we going to be ignorant and perhaps perish? Well, that's something. It's an individual choice. And if you don't look into the matter, you will never have all of the information. Maybe none of us do, but we seek and we learn as we go. Isn't that true? We do try to learn and gain godly knowledge, and that is what we do over and over again. Yes, Lord, please show me. And we can do that and ask for God's help just in the middle of a situation that's right in front of us. Just a little prayer. Lord, help me to understand. Lord, guide me. It just takes a little bit. Just speak it or say it quietly and let your mouth move to the words. And that's, I think, a good thing for all of us to do as we seek to understand and to living according to God's will and his plan and his purpose. Well, I am grateful for all that I have learned and done. It's been a lot. And here we end up wherever we do. I certainly give credit to God for all that he has done in my life, and I express my thanks very often. So, but we still do have a lot to wonder about. There are still questions, and that includes about the future. What is going to happen in the future? Let's see. Tom Horn, he was saying that in 2026, there's going to be an asteroid that's going to come within the satellite orbits of Earth. Is it true? Well, he got his information from the European Space Agency. He tried to get some from NASA. And so what is this about the asteroid Apophis coming by? It's scheduled to come by on April 13th, 2029. Now, it's a puzzle because we don't really know. There's things that can change, but it might be. And I think it's reasonable to ask what this means, especially when we get other biblical things going on with, for instance, the Euphrates River drying up. That's one I just ponder, because it is said that the spirits under the Euphrates River will come up. And it seems to be an opportunity for that to happen at any time when the kings of the East cross over the Euphrates River on dry land. It's a question, and I think there's nothing wrong with having preparedness for the just in case, because we certainly see things can happen in our world, and they are, whether it's man-caused or naturally a disaster of some sort. So I will always suggest the basics of what we need to live, which is water and a water filter and long-term food. I think grains are good, but all sorts of long-term food is good. I think about warmth, as in having warm clothing and a sleeping bag for every member of the family. And I think it's so important to have a community that you are a part of. It doesn't mean any particular community. It can be your church. It can be your neighbors. It can be your family. But just to be able to have help from other people is a really good thing, especially when trouble comes along. We always need help. And certainly as we have an injury or get old, we all need help. And so that's a part of what we do to be a part of our community, whatever that community is. Because we do live in very special times. And, well, when I think back to the people who lived 2,000 years ago, they could read the Bible and have some understanding of what was to happen, and they were in marvel of it, of course. I mean, you read that the book of Revelation, and it's not even easy to understand nowadays because there's so many things that it could be. But we get to live in this day, and we get to see things with our very own eyes. How exciting this is! I think of, one day when we get to heaven, we will be talking to people in heaven who saw Jesus, who walked with Jesus, and we can talk with them, and they can talk with us, and they just might say, wow, and you got to see these events? And we would say to them, and you got to see that happen? Wow. Well, we have these things going on right now in front of our eyes, basically. And we have these things which are happening, yes, in our life, yes, in our world, right in front of us. And God has blessed us so that we can see them with our own eyes or through a television or something, but we still are right here witnessing it firsthand. What a great blessing. God has blessed us greatly to be able to see it with our own eyes. We are alive now by the blessing of God to witness the things right in front of us. Praise God. And we will one day talk with the people who saw things happen in the ancient days. They could have seen people raised from the dead. They could have seen the loaves multiplied. All these things are in our future, and we can say, thank you, Lord God. Oh, yes, thank you, Jesus. We will hear about the people who walked through the fields of grain and had got to eat the grain right off of the wheat shafts. Oh, maybe someday we will do that again when we get hungry. We don't know what the future holds, but there's so many things that we are grateful to not have to do. Just think, we don't have to fetch water from the stream or the well. We have water right into our home. But it might not always be that way. And that's the reason to have a water filter and water right in our home, so that in case we are without water for a few days or a few weeks, we will have some on hand before we have to desperately search for water or food or whatever it is that we need. It's a good thing to look ahead and see what could be coming in the future so that we are able to prepare for needs that we just might have. And we don't know how long it will last for, either the need or the future. But we do know that we live in amazing times, and God has put us here for these awesome days. And we thank God for it. Whatever is coming, let us be a faithful witness to those around us for Jesus Christ. So let's watch and patiently wait in a godly way, because there are things that are going to happen. Well, we look at Jerusalem. What's going on in Jerusalem? There is the third temple that is getting ready to be built. There is the red heifer that is ready to be sacrificed, and its ashes put into a mixture to be used in the temple ritual. Well, there's things that are going on, and so often we wonder about, what does this mean? And when will Jesus return? That is a question for so many people. When will Jesus return? Well, we have an examination of that, but we don't have answers. There's a lot of things. I said about that asteroid that Tom Horn identified as Apophis in April 13th, 2029. That could be an event that has something to do with it. Oh, and then we get to try to figure out if that is an event and if there is another event 7 years after that. So would the event therefore happen in 2036? Puzzles, puzzles, puzzles. And we are left to wonder what could be. And the thing that I think is important is to be ready for Jesus to come today, tomorrow, or the next day. And yet, know that it could be 10 or 20 or more years off. I think of people who have said that the coming of Jesus will be later. And we just have to be ready for whenever that is. We don't know when it'll be. But I think of the people who believe that it's going to be just any day now, and there's other people who say decades off. And yeah, it could be certainly decades. And we don't know the specifics. We don't have to know. All we know is that we want to be ready for whenever it is, and be faithful in the meanwhile. That is what we want to do. I certainly think about a couple of other things about when the time gets to be at hand. Matthew 7:13, about there being a wide gate to hell and a narrow gate to salvation. And that's something that we have to, well, I think it's a good idea to look at. How do we get through that narrow gate I just get amazed at the preachers who say, believe only. And while that is in the Bible, believe only and thou shall be saved, there are other things also. And I don't mean I can tell you what the truth of the matter is. I think you should develop your relation with Jesus Christ and let Jesus Christ make you comfortable. No, not comfortable. Teach you the doctrine so that you can understand what it all means. Because preachers say one thing and preachers say another. But I know that preacher, well, I can't say that I know. But chances are that preacher is not going to be at your side when you die and when you go to heaven, and you don't get to say, preacher, tell Jesus what you told me. No, I think we need to know what Jesus has said so that we can understand why we will go to heaven. It's a matter of understanding what you need to understand. You can do it. Sometimes it takes a little study, and that's what we do. We study the Bible, and we can certainly have a discussion about all the things that are in it. We don't have to know the answers, but it's okay to look into them. Another thing we just don't know the answer to is when the rapture will be. Will it be a pre-trib rapture, a mid-trib rapture, or a post-trib rapture? And I think of all the people saying that it's going to be a pre-trib rapture these days. Well, of course, that's what we want to hear. We want to hear, don't worry, everything's going to be good. You won't have to go through any difficulty whatsoever. And I think of Corrie ten Boom, how she said the American missionaries to China had hurt the Chinese people a lot because they were not prepared to go through any difficulty. They believed that they would be raptured before any difficulty came along. Well, I think of, there's Chuck Misler. I respect him a lot, and he thought it would be a mid-tribulation rapture. That's what he spoke about as he lectured. Now, I don't know that he actually declared that, but I remember that in his lecture. And then I think about the 2,000 years of scholars that we have had that have thought the rapture would be a post-tribulation rapture. Okay, but of course, everything is open for discussion. We can try to figure these things out too. And I think of Daniel 12:4, how it talks about the time of the end and how knowledge will be increased. Does that mean we have more knowledge about the rapture? It might be. I don't mean I can tell you that. I just say, look for yourself, because it's a possibility. I don't think I'm one to tell you that this is one way or another. I think it is up to each one of us to look very closely and ask God for his understanding. And we have to be really careful that it is understanding from God and not what we think we want to hear. Because it's easy to hear the things that are just lovely and beautiful. They call that tickling the ears in the Bible. But what is it that is actually going to happen? Hey, I don't mean I can tell you. I just mean you better be sure of it, because you're probably going to go through something and you'll need an understanding to get through it. I just talked about the 2,000 years of biblical scholars saying that it would be a post-trib rapture. So, is it the rapture going to happen any day now, like so many people are saying? Or, yes, I do look at people who had other ideas. I look at, you remember Newton, he discovered the laws of gravity. Well, he said that he expected Jesus to return about the year 2060. Now, that was a long time ago, but he still had that calculation, and he was a mathematician, so I will honor his thought processes. And not that I say I believe it, but I do recognize people with vast understanding, and that's an interesting thing about Newton also. He had written more books on theology than he had on science, but he's known for science. Anyway, it's a big question of when will Jesus return. 2060 was his approximate time. I don't mean I know. I just mean it's an idea for all of us to be aware of, that it might not be what we would wish for, that Jesus would come, take us to heaven, and everything will be wonderful. We might have to endure quite a bit of time on earth. and it might be some really difficult time. And that's the part of why I say, let's prepare. The preparation can be for a difficult time, or it can be simply for natural disasters that happen. Why, we have earthquakes. They happen. They're happening right now in the United States and other parts of the world. There can be volcanoes. There's one going on right now. There's a dozen of them going on right now. But we hear about the one in the news. There's one south of Mexico. There's, in Hawaii. But there are things going on that we don't know what they mean. We just know that they're going on. And we get to kind of live in the world with all these things going on. Lord, guide us. Lord, direct us and help us to be able to speak to others about what the hope of the Bible is. Jesus Christ, he's the hope of this life. And the Bible tells us the doctrine and the Word of God right there in the Bible. So let's get an idea of how we can speak using Bible concepts. It's a really good idea, and it's something that we all will do because we're commanded to, right? Well, start today. Do it today. We cannot predict what the future holds, except we know that there is discussion about what the future holds in several parts of the Bible. And we do believe in the Bible, right? Yes, of course we do. So we get an idea of what is to come in the future. A lot of it is in prophecy. And we get to seek understanding and say, yes, Lord. We are all just plain and simple human beings. And we try to observe what it is around us, so that we can get an idea for what the future holds. we're funny human beings, and we try to figure things out, but we hardly know what's going to come next year. Or, for instance, will the dollar crash? Will the banks be strong, or will they be broken to pieces and a new cryptocurrency will come? See, that's the plan. That's what is planned for our country and the rest of the world. A one world currency, a cryptocurrency, a central bank cryptocurrency. And are you going to be able to live inside that system, or will you have to go outside the system? It's something that we all get to deal with, and I don't think we really realize how to do it, because we think somebody's going to guide us and help us. How many of us think that our pastors will help us? How many think, well, they will tell us what to do? Or how many say, our president will take care of us? We don't have to worry about anything because our government loves the people, right? Well, maybe. There are plenty of people in the government that are manipulators and just plain liars. We don't know if there will be a war or a new vaccine or a mark of the beast. Well, yes, we do, but we don't know when it'll be. So our knowledge about all this is limited. We get some pretty good ideas when we read what the Bible says, but we still have a hard time with the timing. We have things going on, though. The world is changing. The world has got trouble in it. And if you think about, look at what the news says, that Moscow has opened 200. 200 bomb shelters. And Israel also has opened over 200 bomb shelters. Hey, there's people that are expecting war to happen. Russia is. Israel is. Many other countries are expecting a war, and they are getting prepared for it. And what are we doing in the United States? We are looking to support the Ukraine war. Oh, billions of dollars. It's over $100 billion now that we have sent to Ukraine. I think it's $130 billion now. And if you remember, $1 billion is equal to 1,000 million-dollar bills. It's a lot of money that we are sending over to Ukraine. And we are running out of things in the United States. Besides money, we are running out of munitions, ammunitions, and explosives that we, the United States, is sending to Ukraine. And Ukraine uses them up very, very fast. And why shouldn't they? They're free to them. Ukraine is not paying for the munitions we're sending them. The report, who said this? It was a government department, but I forgot which one right now, said that the United States would take 15 years to replace all the munitions that it has sent to Ukraine. And that means if we were to get into a war, we would not have the ammunitions and explosives and everything else that we would need if we had to go to war, because we have sent them all to Ukraine for free. And we have very limited understanding of all this because our news doesn't tell us. Why does our news not tell us anything about what's going on? Why? Because our news is controlled and it manipulates us. I spoke a little earlier about the book Propaganda, and that's something that is going on. We are being manipulated. And if you think about the 51, I think, intelligence officers, including CIA directors, and it included Brennan, what was his first name? Brennan, the director of National Intelligence. All those people have said that the Hunter laptop was Russian disinformation. Now, that was over 2 years ago, and none of them have apologized for the information being wrong. We have this thing going on with the media, this thing going on with what people say. They are free to lie, and they do, and there's no consequences. And it looks like we are questioning if there is even going to be consequences for the millions of dollars that the Biden family has received. So far, it's to be at $10 million from various countries. Russia, China, Ukraine, Romania. That's what Congressman James Comer says, and that was echoed in a similar way by Congresswoman Marjorie Greene. They said very similar things. So these are going on in our country, too. Do you want to know the truth? Do you want to know what's going to happen tomorrow? Of course we do. And the best we can do, I think, is by reading what is in the Bible and getting ready for some really big difficulties, some really tough times. And it's. I know there's a lot of question about if God is preparing his people or if he will rapture all of us out to a new wonderful heaven and we don't have to deal with the difficulty. Well, that has not been the pattern. In the Bible, people have to deal with the difficulty, and Jesus helps them to get through the difficulty. That's a biblical pattern. So we have to look at what's going to happen in our future. What do you think is going to happen? Doesn't matter what you think or what I think or what you say or what the pastor says or what the president says. Look at what is in the Word of God, because God knows the future. And he is telling us that there will be some pretty tough times coming. Are you going to get ready for them? Are you going to do something to feed your family, your community, to help with something or other? Now, we think that we're going to vote people in and vote people out. Well, that has been true. That has been the way it's worked. But these days, there is a great deal of concern about vote manipulation. It has happened around the world. And it just might be happening right here in this country. If you listen to the accusations that it is happening, they seem pretty solid. And that means, okay, things are not good in this country. What does that mean for us to do? It means that there's going to be failures. It means that there's going to be things that are really difficult. And the economists, well, here we go again. The established economists are saying, don't worry, everything will be fine. But there's the other economists who show their charts and their graphs, and they say the Federal Reserve is a problem. And with their control of the interest rates, they are going to tighten credit and spending will stop. Look at the charts. And it shows that hundreds of businesses will go bankrupt and that there will be a Great Depression coming along. That it will happen in a few months. What are you doing to get ready for a Great Depression? Is there something you might need? Well, one thing is to stay out of debt. That's one thing we all do. But it's something which we all have to have an understanding of what would we do if. And that's probably something I'll talk about again on another broadcast. What do we do if? But right now, it's something for all to examine and try to figure out. So today, I'm so glad that you listened, and thank you so much. I'm always thankful to the people who write. Oh, and I'm grateful for any donations that anyone has. This broadcast is not an easy thing for me to make happen, either financially or with my time. And life changes, and we have to make things work out. I certainly look forward to any donations that you would have for keeping this broadcast on the air. And I have somewhere where I can really receive any prayer requests, too, because that's very important. Prayers are so important. I've talked about that before. You can reach me, John Stephenson, at P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And you can also listen to any past broadcasts by going to www.christtoday.org. Look for the one that says John Stephenson. Okay, so again, thank you for listening today. I certainly pray for God's blessing upon my many brothers and sisters in Christ. So glad for everybody who has found Jesus Christ and become a follower of Christ Jesus. God bless you.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927.